Line Cool Tech, April 2nd, 2007.
Line Cool Tech.
Well, I wanted to play with the podcast stuff, okay?
Technology, the world, is
anybody there?
And blindness.
Ah, God, who put that wall there?
And all comes together.
Hey, y'all. How you doing? I'm Larry Skutkan, your host for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. It has been a while since I've talked with you guys. And I wanted to, got several things on the agenda today as we head home from work here in Louisville, Kentucky on a gorgeous, gorgeous afternoon. It's about 4:30 in the afternoon, sunny, probably 75, 80 degrees. Couldn't be any better. Got my trusty companion Jake here. My little buddy. It's almost too hot for you, isn't it? One of the first things I want to talk with you guys about is this little wrap up on CSUN. I actually did one of these already and the recording didn't come out, so I hate it when that happens. But anyway, the 22nd annual CSUN conference, I do believe, was the best I've seen. Bar none. Why was it the best? There were presentations there that there were actually 3 and 4 presentations in a time period that I was interested in going to, and that happened several times. And that's not necessarily happened too often before. In fact, very rarely. So that tells me the quality of the presentations is improving. Now, one of the other things, and I'm going to get back to these presentations in a minute. One of the other things that was so exciting is there were a lot of new products, a lot of very cool things out there, as there always is. And I'd say probably some of the coolest things that were at the show, one of them, of course, was the Icon and the Braille Plus. Those were pretty exciting. VoiceSense is another PDA that's coming out that looks pretty darn good. Hopefully we can get the folks at GW to do a podcast on the features of that device at some point. There was a Japanese refreshable braille cell producer there. I think it was called Nippon Soft Tech. And they actually had a 40-cell braille display with cursor routing keys. And it sold for less than $1,800. It was a USB. It wasn't a Bluetooth option. But that is a breakthrough, people. That's less than half the price of any other 40-cell display that I know of, anyway. Some other cool things. So I went by Earl Harrison's booth. He's the guy with Triumph Phonic. He's done a couple of podcasts for us. And had a Handytech Braille display there. Or a whole system, and I'm sorry I don't remember the name of it. But this thing actually would, it could tell what dots you were pressing your fingers on and could give you feedback that way. So that's some pretty interesting technology. We're here waiting to cross the street at an accessible light. So yeah, that Handytech display was a nice one. Also saw, well, in fact, I also want to mention that I did not get to put my hands, good boy, on that Nippon Braille display. So, you know, I don't have any answers about reliability, of course, and I heard from some people that said the display seemed fast, felt nice. Another company that I'm definitely going to do a little more investigating into is Abisee, A-B-I-S-E-E. They made a portable OCR system. And what this was just a camera that sat on an aluminum stand about, probably 14 inches off the table. And you would just slide your reading material between the legs of the stand. They were actually in an L shape. And what was so exciting about this thing is that you pressed the key to start and it was actually reading to you within 3 seconds. It connects to your PC or a laptop. So it's just a USB camera that connects via a USB connection. It also does enlargement, so it can act as a CCTV, and it'll also do it, you can, you know, maybe aim it at a chalkboard in a classroom, and be able to, you can't do OCR on the chalkboard, but you get enlargement. So that's another one worth checking out. Definitely interested in that. Went and saw the people at Sun with their screen reader for GNOME, and it's looking pretty good. It had problems on a few pages, Blind Cool Tech included, you know, for browsing the web. And there were a few places where the speech wasn't working right, but I can certainly see progress from last year. And that's encouraging. Good boy, little buddy. Boy, Jake was so glad to be home from that conference. Wasn't even funny. That is hard, hard work on a guide dog. Hard work. There's so many people. And, you know, in the exhibit hall, they might just be standing in the middle of the aisle talking, and you know, a dog needs to find a way around them. And it's not always easy. It's not just a routine thing. So, as with most of us, the best part of the trip was getting home. Got to saw a lot of you Flying Cool Tech listeners out there, and that was really exciting, getting to meet you in person. So appreciated you stopping by and chatting with us. We actually had our booth right next to Independent Living Aids, so I got to talk with Stephen Guerra quite a bit. And really, next time we go over there, we're going to have to get ILA to kind of run through their what's new. They had some pretty interesting new gadgets there. In fact, I bought a luggage locator, not really so much for luggage, but for the Roomba, which is the robotic vacuum cleaner. I usually let it go when I leave the house in the morning, but sometimes it's hard to find, and I thought, well, I could attach one of these to it, just push the button, and it would direct me to it. And then if I do go on a trip, I can use it on my luggage, too, because I won't be vacuuming while I'm out of town. Good boy, little buddy. There you go. While we're talking about the room, I should mention that I've gone through quite a few of these things, and I finally have ended up on one that I think is actually going to work for me, be reliable. The first generation of them had a few problems, and they were very difficult to maintain. The new ones, however, basically snap apart. So if your brush axles get clogged up with hair, you can just snap it apart, clean it out, and snap it back together. And that's one of the most common things.
Hey. He's good. He just wants to play.
Aw, what a cute little doggy. Help out, little buddy. Good boy, little buddy. Let's see what our traffic's doing here. There's parallel. We can go. Good boy. That's it, little buddy. So this newer generation is simpler to use, but this reliability is the big thing. And it's also got diagnostics. So the other day, well, for the last several weeks, it's been giving me a double beep tone, and it just stops. And I thought, oh Lord, I thought we had all the reliability issues worked out. Well, I got online and looked up the error, and it was telling me that the side brush was getting hung, which is there's a little spinning brush on the side of this thing. I don't know if you've seen the Roomba or not. It's a flat disc, probably 3 or 4 inches tall, probably a foot wide, and it spins around and vacuums. And on one of the sides of it is a little brush that spins around and removes debris from the baseboard, so it follows along a wall and scoots material away from the wall into the path of the vacuum. Thanks. Good boy. So I just unscrewed that little brush. And at first I didn't see anything in there, but as I started pulling, I pulled out a wad of hair and fiber that was turned out bigger to be bigger than the cavity in which it was compressed. So we got all that out of there, put the brush back on, and it's been working like a charm since. So I've actually got the new models have some better diagnostics capabilities. In fact, there's a whole diagnostics mode you can run through and test each of the sensors and so forth. Very, very nice. Good boy, little buddy. So, back on CSUN, sorry for the little diversion there. Good sessions. Wow, something smells really good right here. Like a grill or something. And one of the unfortunate things was, and I didn't even see this email, but some of the guys in the office did, and they were requesting you to pre-register at some of the sessions. And one of them I went to, in fact, it was the one about using window eyes with Vista, was full up with pre-registrants. And there were room for 9 people, and I was number 10 in the line, apparently. So I didn't get to go in. And the guy actually kind of ticked me off a little bit. I asked him if they could just leave the door open so we'd listen from the hall. And he's just like, no. So I'm telling him, well, I want my money back then. I wasn't really serious, but it did kind of tick me off. Because, I mean, the hall was quiet. There was no reason why they couldn't have done that. So, I guess the point of that is maybe it's time for CSUN to move to a bigger facility. You know, there's enough attendees there where there's not room in the sessions. That's a problem. Good boy. I hear next year, too, that the whole conference is going to be at the Marriott, so there won't be any of this splitting up between the Hilton and the Marriott, which will make it a little easier, a little nicer. I think they're going to set up some kind of temporary building out in the, or a pavilion out in the parking lot for the exhibit hall. So that'll be pretty interesting to see how that works out. Good boy. Last week I went to the Kentucky AER, which was at a state park in eastern Kentucky here, in the mountains. Beautiful, beautiful setting. In fact, we got to do a little hiking on some of the mountain trails, and this friend of mine I was with says, "You really trust him, don't you?" Because apparently we were walking straight, and if we kept going, it was a pretty sharp drop off. Pretty, well, you know, I guess it was a cliff. And Jake just casually walked and followed the trail onto the round to the right, and you know, I never really even knew it. But my answer was, yeah, I do trust him. I have to. That's one of the prerequisites of a good guide dog handler team. Trust on both of you all's parts. Good boy. I did notice Jake really screwed up this morning. I don't know whether it was, I could even call this his fault or not, but I think I told you there were some. Hi.
How you doing?
Good, how you doing? There's some condominiums under construction up here, and they had the sidewalk blocked off, and they had a big galvanized metal fencing and posts and stuff to route the foot traffic out into the street. And I think it was Joe I was with Friday or Saturday or Sunday. Must have been Sunday. And he was telling me they were disassembling it. And I was talking with my friend Ed here while this was up. And I wonder if the dog's going to keep on going around after they take that down. Well, sure enough, that's what he did this morning. So I'm really glad I knew that it was down. And I just had to tell him to go to the left. And he stepped up on the sidewalk and walked on. We'll see if he transfers that knowledge from this morning on the for the trip back. I also wanted to update you guys on, we had it's been about a month ago now, we were having problems with our links on the website, so you couldn't get to a lot of the podcasts. And what happened was, I guess the explorations.net folks either got tired of fooling with us, or there was too much traffic or something. And I want to be the first to say I don't begrudge them at all. In fact, I really want to thank them for the over a year of free service, free hosting, free storage, free bandwidth. It was awesome. But that's over with now. Good boy, little buddy. And what we ended up doing was renting some extra space from Online Storage Solutions and moving all the stuff that was on Explorations over to that. There's still a lot of stuff stored on archive.org, probably about 480, the first 480 or 90 recordings. And then from about 480 to around 1,000, we're all on Explorations. So we purchased 20 gigs of storage that should hold those old archives. And we switched providers. We subscribed to Libsyn.com now. Got their premium package so we can have good boy, little buddy. We can how about, I don't know what we're stopping for here. There you go. Good boy. So we've got 800 megabytes per month that we can keep up there. And the way this works is that the last 30 days is what they count is what you have on there, and then they move, you know, the one that's a month and a day old over to a slower archive site. The URL's the same and everything, but it just didn't quite as fast as the recent ones. And what that means, though, is that we need to be a little bit more careful about the size of our recordings. So what I'm requesting from you is to, you know, if you're just sitting in front of your computer or a desk and just going to talk to us, there's probably not a good reason to make that a stereo recording, unless there's something about it that is stereo, you know, that would make it interesting in stereo. Those kind of files, you might even want to encode at 32 kbps. If it's just voice, that's fine. And that'll greatly reduce the size of these things, which we need to be cognizant of. I don't want to discourage any sound scene tours. We'll definitely take those, but keep in mind that the average size to keep things where we can have pretty much a recording a day would be 30 megabytes. So there's plenty of them that are smaller, and that doesn't mean, you know, if you've got a 70 or 100 megabyte sound scene tour, it's, you know, a nice recording, don't hesitate to send it in. We'll put it up there. You know, we may have to be one of these situations where we have to wait for a little room to free up. But yeah, if you can do anything to help with the size of your recordings, that would be great. Good boy, little buddy. Oh, it's crowded here in front of the coffee shop. Good boy. There you go, little buddy. Good doggy. Guess we better stop here. Good boy. We're at Bailey now, waiting to cross. So yeah, if you can keep that size small as you can, that would really help us out. We don't want to compromise the quality, of course. And you know, the better you can make your recording, the easier it is for people to listen to. One big tip, by the way, is trying to keep your hands off the microphone or talking, you know, straight into it and popping it too much. So just keep that in mind. Good boy, little buddy. Well, let's step it up a little bit. I think it is just a little bit warm out here for Jakester. Gonna have to get used to this. Actually, we've got a cold front coming through later in the week. It's probably gonna get down to freezing. And I hate to see that because I just planted tomatoes this weekend. Normally, you wait around here till about Derby Day to guarantee that you're not going to have a frost. But I think I'll be able to cover them and it should be all right. Come on, up. There you go. Good doggy. Good doggy. I don't know if I told you guys or not, but my daughter Michelle bought her a house here in Louisville. A small house, good starter. She's still in school and working full time, so she's a busy girl. Good boy, little buddy. So I'm living by myself again, and especially miss little Mars. But I do get to see her once or twice a week still. So it's not like we're in different towns or anything. But just want to tell Michelle congratulations. And Joe really got in there and redid all the inside paint. Really looks good. Good boy, little buddy. Let's see, where's that detour? Must be the next block up. I'm gonna make sure he doesn't take me out in the street again. This will be interesting to see if he realizes just from this morning that going this way is the same thing. We don't go out in the street anymore. I was really interested to see him do that too, because you know, he's been doing it for over a year and a half, so it was just sort of a natural thing. You know, I don't know if it was, you would necessarily consider it wrong that he did that. I mean, it was wrong, but it's not something you really would correct a dog for. You pretty much just show him the right way to do it. Now, if he does that repeatedly, that would be a problem, but I don't think he will. He just didn't know. Someone really, I know Earl Harrison did a podcast on Mobile Speak, smartphone edition with the T-Mobile Dash, but this T-Mobile Dash is a pretty interesting phone. It'd be kind of interesting for someone really to get into a little bit more detail about it, and especially compare Symbian, which is the operating system that the Nokia's used, with Windows Mobile 5, which is... see, is this the... I can't tell if this is the street that was blocked off or not. If it was, we went the right way this time. But yeah, comparing Symbian with WM5. And I have noticed several... This must be the new street. I mean, the new way. And he didn't even think about going out in the street. Good boy, little buddy. I've noticed several differences in I really didn't want to make a full-fledged comparison until I knew more about what I was talking about. And I've used this device enough now that I think I can make some pretty good comparisons between the Symbian and the Windows Mobile 5. A couple of things strike me right off. In fact, one thing just really irritates me to this day about WM5. And, you know, maybe I'm doing something wrong, but I can't get the, in Symbian, it was kind of nice because when you went into the contacts, it, you know, you stayed on the contact that you were on if you went and did something else, but this one always seems to want to start you listing back at the beginning when you go back into it, so to me that's a pretty big drawback. Another thing is the recent call history. You know, on Symbian, it gave you the number, the name, and the time of the call, and date, right there on one line. And with this thing, it seems like you have to, you know, get to the call and then open it up and get your date, arrow down, you might get your time, arrow down, get the length. So it's a little bit more of a procedure to get all the information about your call history. Good boy, little buddy. Stopping for another little sidewalk diversion here. I don't know what they're doing on the sidewalk there. That's been that way for weeks. Good boy. That's my buddy. You know, one of the things that probably most people don't know enough about, me included, is SIM cards and storing your contacts in the phone memory or in the SIM memory. And I learned a good lesson switching from the Nokia 3650 to the T-Mobile Dash. And that is that you should store your important contacts on your SIM card. And that way when you switch phones, those contacts will just go with you. And nobody ever makes much say about that in the manuals or anything. Of course, I did read an article the other day that about these guys that may travel to another country and just buy another SIM card for that country. Well, in that case, you wouldn't have your contacts because they'd be on your first SIM card. So I don't know what you do. It'd be kind of nice just to automatically save them in both, but I guess apparently the SIM cards have a limitation on how many contacts you can store on them. And I want to say it's pretty low too, like 250, probably 255, 256 I should say. That's it, little buddy. Good boy. So that's really something to be aware of. I've gotten in the habit now of saving mine onto the SIM card. And you know, that's actually not a very intuitive process either. There really needs to be a quick and easy way to do it. I mean, it is easy once you know how to do it, but it's not exactly obvious. I mean, you have to go through a menu or two. Let's see. Across the street. Good boy. Let's go straight. Right. Right. Up. Dang, that guy's all the way down the street. Good boy, little buddy. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. I hope to be talking with you good folks a little more frequently. And I know, you know, I've gotten a lot of criticism that these chats we have are not very productive for a person's time, but they're not really meant to cram the maximum amount of information in the minimum amount of time into your brain. Hopefully a good way for you to take a little walk, kick back, relax a little bit, maybe learn a thing or two, talk to your fellow enthusiasts out there, and that's all there is to it. So, you know, if you need more dense learning material, there's probably some better places to get your information. But if you'd like to come along for a walk once in a while and just chat about a few things, you're more than welcome to join us. And we'll see you again next time on Blind Cool Tech. That right, little buddy?
You've been listening to Blind Cool Tech. Visit us on the web at blindcooltech.com. Our email address is blindcooltech@gmail.com, and our comment line is 206-984-9203.